listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
As you can fucking see my boat, there's a little dark animal. As you can fucking see it, what do I do? Motherfucker goes to the other dog, an animal. Is he a little motherfucker? I can saw it. Hey, motherfucker. Is he here? What?
Alright, this time we are actually recording. Yeah!
Get done.
Yeah! Okay. Yes, we are. Here we are. Fucking pros.
Well-oiled machine here.
Yeah. This is only our, like, 20-somethingth episode. Yeah. I think we'd have it down a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm Keith.
I'm Walter.
This is a Fringe mini-sode of Go Plug Yourself. We're here with...
Did I miss three?
You missed two and a half.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
What was the half?
Well, because we did Blue and Shane together.
Right.
So you missed three guests,
right.
but our two podcasts.
But I'm here with our guest today.
Which is our first out-of-town guest who's still Canadian.
All right.
Sam Mullins from the one-man show Tinfoil Dinosaur. I did it, playing at the Montreal Improv.
That's right.
Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
All right, so we're like, we're
Sam showed up in a bit of a state.
Yeah. he's doing better now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm okay now. I have a beer, and apparently my cell phone I left in the cab is on its way.
That's great.
It's going to be okay.
Especially, like, because this is going to go up probably like an hour from now.
Okay.
Live, so that means it'll be in time for you have a show tonight.
Yeah.
And then you have one more over the weekend, right? You have a Saturday.
No, I have a show tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Wow. So we're actually just like, we're like jumping in at the halfway mark.
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome.
You did it doing total six?
No, I'm doing eight.
Eight, because you're an off show.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's
I don't
fun.
Understand the whole off thing with Fringe. Because there's so many off shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and it's like what makes it an off show? Why don't you just expand your card? Like, if you're going to have all those off shows... Why not just, like,
Or it's just sort of like, there are 12 shows, Fringe, like, venues and, like, 7 off venues.
Is it just
venues?
Basically smaller venues? It's, like, I think,
No.
Some of the main venues, quote-unquote, are pretty small.
No, yeah. It can be better. It's, I like the whole BYOV system because then BYOV, bring your own venue.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, off Fringe. I like it a lot because Fringe is still by lottery. So if you have shit luck and you want to do a tour, then you can, like, negotiate into festivals that you wouldn't otherwise be. Like, I wouldn't have been able to come here.
Okay.
And in Edmonton, I have, like, a really nice 100-seat theater that I'm going to be doing in August. So, and it's unlike the Fringe. Like, Fringe is totally lottery, so BYOV, there's a lot of artists competing for limited BYOV spots.
Now, where is this BYOV thing you're talking about? Because you're talking about this now, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
BYOV, that's just like... That's what everyone calls off-fringe in other
okay.
cities.
Yeah.
So,
oh, okay.
So, like, yeah. Montreal Improv is, like, a venue that the artists are, like, quasi-responsible for the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, as opposed to Fringe being responsible for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, the artists... Like, if I'm... Like, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but that's my understanding of the off-venues, where it's more like... You're booked there, as opposed to kind of like it being a Fringe thing where they tell you what to do. You're like...
Yeah, you still have to, like, adhere to all the Fringe stuff, and you have the Fringe running your door and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's better because you can also negotiate, like, more shows,
right.
You know?
Right.
Like, in Edmonton, I think they give people that get into the lottery 6 shows, but I'm doing 10 shows. So if my show takes off in Edmonton, then it's going to be good. But the downside is you roll the dice a bit more because it's like an extra $400 per festival to essentially rent the space.
So yeah. You want those extra shows and whatever, especially if you're a traveling show like yourself
totally.
Or whatever else like that, where you're like, will there be enough money to make it to Edmonton?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like,
totally. Yeah,
I always imagine when the traveling Fringe shows to be like those little like airplanes on like the dotted maps, like
yeah, totally,
like Fringe Edmonton,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
How is it touring?
Well,
have you done it before, or is this your?
No, last year was my first time fringing. I did Winnipeg and then just Vancouver, and this year I'm doing Montreal, and then we're doing a one-off in Ottawa. Then I'm doing Toronto Fringe. And I go home and I wait tables for a month,
okay.
Sling some waffles, and then I go to Edmonton, hopefully make some money,
Okay.
Because that's what everyone says that Edmonton's good for. Making lots of
really?
Money. Making lots of yeah, friends money.
Yeah, Edmonton is fucking huge. Like, friends of mine who did a touring show a couple years back were literally, like, about to turn back because they wouldn't be able to afford hitting Vancouver.
Yeah.
Like, until they got... They did Edmonton, and then they're like, we're back alive!
Yeah,
and like,
yeah.
They could, like, make it out to Vancouver and make it back. It was kind of like they were just sitting there being like, whatever the order was that year or whatever, being like, we have enough money to get home.
Yeah.
Like, if we should probably just, like, pack up, cut our losses, and head home. And then they, like, they made enough money to, like, hit Vancouver, like, play Vancouver, come back home. I think maybe, like, break even. Like, which is not amazing, but... Yeah. Better than, like, coming back home, like, tails between the legs and dead, you know? Like,
totally.
So, hopefully. Yeah. And, I mean, your show is your show's doing well.
Yeah, it's like, doing really well.
I've heard that you've sold out.
Yeah.
You've had some sellouts.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm hoping to sell out these three shows.
Okay.
The nominations came out for the awards and stuff, and I was fortunate enough to get nominated, so apparently that helps with your... The last weekend.
The push. Yeah.
Like,
what's that, Walter?
Promoting shows here is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unlike anywhere else. Like, I have to... Like, it's not... Handbilling doesn't get you...
Nope.
Anywhere, really. It's all word of mouth and social media and just getting artists to see your show and to like your show and to plug your show.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Yeah.
I got shut out. Of the
You got shout out to the Frankies.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you can't.
It's the first time. You know?
It is the first time. And I think there's also, like, there's, I don't want to say that they're, like, there's kind of always this vibe I find with the Frankies and whatever, where it's like, no offense to you or anything else like that. And, like, it's I've never seen a bad show nominated kind of thing, but the shows that are nominated tend to be, I find, like, the people who are just around all the time, you know? So it's like, you end up with, like, this word of mouth vibe, and it's like, the show almost becomes, like, bigger than itself because the whoever the star is, like, at the beer tent 24/7 and, like, at all the other shows. So other people go, and then there's, like, this kind of, like, this momentum that builds behind it, which is just sort of, like, so when it comes to, like, the nominations, you're like, oh, yeah, that show. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, like, not to... Like I said, it's not a bad show, but it's like...
We'll cut
working,
all this in post. It's fine.
No. But I'm saying, but if you're, like... But I've had a lot of artists sort of, like, tell me, but if you're, like, say, like, a local guy who's working at 9 to 5 and juggling the fringe, you're not around as much and you don't have as much of that momentum.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to the people who can, like, a lot of the traveling people or people who are doing it, like, really as a job can devote, like, the 10 days to being around, you know, which is cool. Like, ideally, I think everybody would want to be in that area where they can just, like, hang around and go see a bunch of shows and all that stuff. So, we're talking about the fringe in general. We can talk about your show.
Yeah.
I've heard it's I haven't seen it. My plan is to go to see one of those three shows that you're telling me now are gonna sell out, so I need to fucking jump on that and buy your tickets, as do the listeners. Your show is a one man show that I've heard very good things about, and also that a comedy with but like a little bit I don't wanna say depressing. But like
no, it's depressing.
But exactly, but like a little depressing. Like
it's sad. It makes girls cry.
Really?
Yeah, oh, girls cry at my show.
So are you like cleaning up with the ladies?
not as much as I'd hoped. It's not really a show conducive to getting laid. It's more like a lot of it makes women want to mother me. They're just like there's like shuck me on the chin after and be like, it's gonna be okay.
It's gonna be okay.
You're gonna be okay.
And then you're to, like, hug, and then you, like, hold the hug a little
longer.
Yeah. And just...
No, I need you to let go of me, sad man.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you just smell so nice.
I just want to live in this moment. They're like, I'm trying to see another show.
No, let this happen forever. Walter, you're oddly quiet today.
I'm having an off day.
Having an off day?
It's all kind of weird shit.
There's been a little
It's a fucking weird day. Do you know have you seen the local arts weekly here, the Incident of the Mirror? Have you seen the issue of the Mirror?
Yeah.
Announced today, closing it down.
Wow.
You picked it up. The issue you picked up is the last issue that they're going to release.
I think I was in this last issue.
Yeah, so was I.
We're in the last issue.
Yeah, we are literally albatrosses, sir. Shutting the thing down.
I was in the last issue. I mean, and that's they've been around for 20, 25 years.
So what would be like the new
nothing? There's no competition for it.
Not even like web content.
No, they're not even doing. I don't even think they're doing that. I don't know. Like, I don't know what they're gonna do.
Keepmare.ca app or whatever.
I don't even think so, because like I read the release and they're not saying it's gonna be like online only.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Anyway, so that's Anyway.
My day job is
I work for a newspaper, for a free weekly newspaper, so these things kind of suck.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, and like
I'm gonna bring the podcast down.
Sorry. You were asking why I was oddly quiet.
Sam just got his iPhone back, and everything was coming together. And then you're like, the death of free press.
Also got shut out of the Frankies.
That
happened. And what else? That's about it.
Okay.
I got sandals on.
I'm just going to
talk. You made fun of my sandals.
I did make fun of your sandals.
Keith made fun of my sandals.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to keep talking to Sam, if that's okay with you.
I legitimately want to know more about the show, because I'm going to try to... What time is the show tonight?
Tonight, I'm 10:45.
10:45. I want to rename this show Walter Makes His Nightly Plans on the podcast. So 10:45, I'll probably come to that one.
I feel really bad, because I haven't seen enough Fringe shows, and also because of the podcasting, I haven't written any reviews or whatever that. And I think I'm going to, instead of really, a review, I'm just going to write, as an article, my show plan for the weekend.
Oh, cool.
here are the things I'm going to
this
see.
Is a,
you know,
this
just
is a
sort of,
photo of my Google calendar.
And it'll be great,
calendar.
Too, because I'm where do I go next? I could just, look at the website and that's where I go next. put my itinerary just, there instead of really reviews. Just being here's what has good buzz. Here's what I'm seeing over the weekend. I'll be at these shows.
Cool.
Yeah. So, I will definitely.
You're going to go to 13th Hour tonight?
Yeah.
We were on the same 13th Hour.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah. That was the first one I'd ever been to, ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I lost my 13th Hour cherry. I don't know. Because, I never, first of all, this is, the most fringe stuff I've ever done this year, going to shows and whatnot, just because I think, and obviously because I'm involved with it. Yeah. Prior to this, it's always something that I intend to do, that I want to do, and for whatever reason, I just plans come up, other shit comes up. But now, it's because I'm sort of, immersed into it, I'm like, well, I might as well go see a bunch of shows. But because of work and everything, Wednesday was the first 13th Hour I was able to go to. It was a hell of a lot of fun. Yeah. And I went last night, and while my memories of the events that transpired are pretty hazy, I think I had a great time.
Oh, you were dancing.
You were there last night, too.
Yeah.
These
we talk?
These traveling types, dude, they do it fucking 10 times.
I literally do it 10 times.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Do we talk last night or anything?
I don't think so.
Okay, good.
All
right.
Super.
Right. Yeah, so you dancing.
I was dancing quite a bit. I don't dance a lot.
Me either.
I was by myself dancing, having a great time.
They're not playing that song, Walter. You're just singing it by yourself in the corner. Last night I completely dropped the ball in French. It happens just so often where you're yesterday we did the podcast with
did you say yesterday?
Yesterday. then we huffed it over to Mainline. We did a podcast with Yana for Ukrainian Dentist Daughter.
That's a great show.
She's very
talented.
I desperately want to see it. A lot of it's word of mouth and stuff like that. Heard really great things. Just having sat down with her for the half hour, and I was just sort of I really need to see this. Seems really, really fun. Then directly after that, because we were in the Mainline lobby, I popped in and watched Apocalypse Solo. And then I had a whole other thing, but I had to come back here and record another podcast. Yeah. And then I just ended up staying here till 2:30 in the morning. I was just I've been running since 2 o'clock.
Yeah, you're at Grumpy's till 2:30?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
From when to when? What are you starting when?
Oh, well, no, because I popped over to Mainline.
Boom.
Oh, my God. Thank you so
much.
This is
the
return of the iPhone. iPhone being returned live on the podcast.
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Take care, sir.
You're the best, sir.
I feel...
a huge weight lifts it off your shoulders.
Boom. During the podcast.
Should I have hugged him?
You should have. You smell so good.
I just want to live here forever. with you, Cabby.
I want this moment.
That
to last
shit never. By the way, if it makes you feel any better, that shit never happens to me in this fucking city.
That's good.
When I lose shit in the city, it's fucking gone. All right, I'm the worst at fucking losing shit. Like I just lose it.
I'm so
forget
happy.
It. Like I just, it's the fucking
no,
worst.
And Cabbies usually are sleazy here. Like
you seem like an okay guy.
You seem like an okay guy.
Despite having kicked you out 2 blocks early.
I had a time where I was with a couple of friends, and our car couldn't start. And a cabbie pulled over, and we had, like, we have jumper cables. Can you help us jump? And he was like, $50.
What?
And I was like, no. No, that's not happening.
That's, wow.
Like, I ended up giving him 10. You know? But yeah. I'm like, $10 for, like, 5 seconds of your time. I'm like, really? But, like, his starting negotiation thing, and I was like, look,
you gotta start high, to be fair,
but that's like way high, like, yeah, to me, like $50. I was like are you kidding me? No, like I don't go. I'm like, just keep driving, like, yeah. I don't even want to negotiate if your starting point is 50, you know? Like,
you know what's really funny about the cabbies here that is a good thing is like last night I was talking to this girl on the, like, just outside Cabaret Du Mile End. I'm just like standing there, and we were talking for like an hour, and probably 15 times a cab would drive by, put it in reverse, like drive a half block, and it's like, do you guys need a ride? Oh, no? Okay. And then they keep going. Like, in Vancouver, you can't even get a cab. They'll have their light on and be like, no, you look like a poor person. I'm not picking you up. Like, F this. But here, they're just like desperate to get you home. And it's cheaper.
It's cheaper here?
It's very cheap here. Cabs are very cheap.
Okay. Yeah. I always, the cheapest cabs, well, occasionally, it's like a double-edged sword. The cheapest cabs I've been in Canada are in St. John, New Brunswick. Because it's zoned.
Yeah, but who the fuck goes to St. John, New Brunswick?
If you happen to be there.
It's not even the better-known St. John.
No, it's not. But either way, it's zoned.
Yeah.
So, like zone, anywhere within zone one, $5. Like,
it's like transit.
Or whatever. Like, zone one to zone two, $10. Like, yeah.
Ridiculous.
First of all, amazing, because if there's traffic, if there's lights, if there's whatever, you pay the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You can budget that into your fucking night. You know the maps. You're like, I will need $15.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's get back to what you were doing in St. John, New Brunswick.
I was hosting a game show.
Oh, you've told me about
for
this.
Rogers.
Yeah.
In their call center.
I still don't understand that story.
Wow.
I've had a weird roundabout way of different things I've hosted, apparently. Like, the game show, roller derby, the podcasts, are just like, I love hosting things. Yeah, that's what I was doing in St. John's, New Brunswick, was hosting.
St. John.
St. John. St. John.
Yeah.
St. John's, Newfoundland.
John. Yes.
St. Yeah. John, New Brunswick. Also did
note the lack of an apostrophe.
Also did Calgary, whatever. Like, I did a tour of call centers hosting a game show.
Wow.
It was well-paying.
Yeah. Okay, I just want to get back to something for a second. You said Sex T-Rex.
Yes.
Was before it would be like sort of paired up with your show?
Yeah.
Was that on purpose, like you had the tinfoil dinosaur and Sex T-Rex?
No, that was just a coincidence.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
It is. Oh, we milked that shit.
Yeah, no shit.
Wait. We saw that at the 13th Hour. You were like, there's other guys who like dinosaurs.
Totally.
Like,
yeah, it was good.
Now,
your 13th Hour bit was like, really funny.
Yeah.
Like, it reminded me, we were discussing this last night with some people here. Who are from France, and I really hope you know him. Gordon Corman. Oh my God, he wrote the Bruno and Boots books, and like This Can't Be Happening in McDonald Hall, and I Want to Go Home and stuff like that. And
you're on Corman again.
I love Gordon Corman so much. If ever you want, there are books that are age for people like who are
9-year-olds. Literally, they're
like,
novellas.
It's like
for
a certain demographic that they like. A
no,
certain
but like
type
I'd say 9 to 13
children.
9 to 13 or 14, because they're
children's books.
No, like exactly. I'd say like grade 4 to grade 7 kind of
okay.
thing. Because some of them are thick or ish, you know.
Yeah.
But if you want sort
some
of like...
Some of them are 150 pages.
Some of them are. But if you want, like, I swear to God, if you want entertaining, like, very sort of Canadian feeling, really funny, really, really funny bathroom reads kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like, you're not going to sit there and hit, like, hard literature or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And you can read them in, like, an hour, you know, like... And they defined a lot of what I think is funny today.
Really?
There's something really inherently creepy about the image of you in the bathroom reading children's novels. It's like, Keith, what are you doing? I'm reading a Gordon Corman novel.
I'm reading Gordon Corman.
I'll be out in a bit.
Either way, he wrote this one book called I Want to Go Home.
Yeah.
And about, like, a kid who goes to camp. And, like, the thing that always put me in stitches is, like, there was, like, chapters. And then, like, I think the chapters always start with his, like, horrified letter to his parents.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, dear mom and dad, sorry if my handwriting doesn't look so good. It's because I'm writing this while chased by a bear. Like, and just, like, yeah, all yeah. these, like, terrible, like, like, we had to, like, shovel slop out of the tents because there was a mudslide. And just, like, yeah. and, like, then the actual chapters are, like, nothing like that's happening because yeah, yeah. he's just trying to get out of summer camp. And, like, that whole humorous yeah. summer yeah. camp letter, like,
that is funny.
I almost thought that you were just almost channeling it.
Oh, right.
Like, yeah, yeah. No. yeah. That's why I'm shocked. I was like, you don't know Gordon Corman?
Wait, no. so you weren't doing that? No. Just for the record? Well... There, that
Fuck
goes.
I'm sorry. I'm no, sorry.
God damn it.
I was just hoping, because he was Canadian, that he
right.
knew.
Right.
I don't know that
You're
one.
From Canada, right? You know Gordon Corman?
You know Gordon Corman.
Sort of.
Oh, fuck off. I don't even care.
Now, the tinfoil dinosaur.
Yeah.
The crux of the story is that you were an actor.
Yes.
Is it biographical, or is it...
Yes, like the show is, like, just not a biographical storytelling comedy about the transition from graduating university and then moving to a new place and trying to build a life for myself, get a job, find an apartment, become an actor, maintain a long-distance relationship, and it's, like, the story of failing at all of those things and, like, being inhibited by crippling social anxiety disorder. But...
You're doing all right for yourself.
I'm doing okay. Yeah. I'm podcasting.
You're doing pretty good now.
You're yeah. podcasting.
Don't worry about
yeah. it. You're podcasting, you're doing sellout shows, you're...
Yeah. You know what's funny? I did a gig last year for Anxiety BC.
No shit.
And I'm like...
Does everybody just, like, look at the floor?
Yeah. Like, you know sorry. What? They're the most normal
yeah.
yeah.
audience ever. Like,
what exactly,
like
what exactly defines a social anxiety disorder?
Like, I will mouth the words to conversations that I had earlier in the day, and I'll, like, try and make it better.
That's yeah. that's a thing. I do that.
Yeah.
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 That's not a thing you're supposed to do. Like,
no.
Oh shit.
My brother has it too. Like, apparently, if I don't want to. I mean, you also you have it, but apparently it's a lot. Like, a big part of it is, like, reliving conversations, like, again and again and again.
Over and over.
Yeah.
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 Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Like, almost like.
Yeah.
Like into oh, like they say that in terms of the disorder, it gets close to obsessive compulsive even.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of the same yeah. neuroses that go along
That's
with
interesting.
It and whatever else.
See, I've done that. I've made that mistake that I've made countless times where I ask somebody about the nature of a certain disorder
yeah.
and then automatically assume that I have it. This yeah. is, I should never do this. This is why I got to stay off the internet. Like that. Oh, yeah. No, I got yeah. that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I have the perfect storm yeah. of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Like.
It's hilarious because my I have really bad ADD.
Yeah.
Like next, like, terrible ADD because I was diagnosed with it in like fourth grade. My mom, who's fundamentally religious, didn't think it existed. And
what does one have to do with the other there?
Well, because, like, there's a when you're very religious, you're very, like, anti-medication. They're very anti like psychiatrist, psychologist.
Oh, blood transfusions.
They're very anti-blood transfusions. Yeah.
Jehovah's are the
Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah.
Okay, because
yeah.
like, I thought it was Mormons.
I know. I don't know about Mormons. I mean, I wasn't raised a Mormon.
Okay, so. I didn't realize. Okay. But I know, anyway.
But Jehovah's Witnesses are anti-blood transfusion. So, and then I just sort of, like, dealt with it and, like, created, like, my own crazy coping mechanisms. Made it all the way through high school, all the way through Cégep or college. Made it, like, halfway through university where and then I just hit, like, this weird wall where I just couldn't, even if I was interested in the topic, just could not overcome, like I'm like, I'm interested in this. I'm, like, 20, 21 years old. Like, I'm a grown, not grown man, but you're, like, on your way to being a grown man. I need to write this paper, but... What's that out that window?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, and it was just sort of like attention deficit disorder to the point of like where I felt like having a breakdown
yeah.
and stuff. Then I had to go and get
yeah.
more help. And my brother has social anxiety and he's
yeah.
a bit of OCD and stuff. But we're like complete polar opposites. Like he'll do the thing where you're like imagining and like going through the conversation and maybe
yeah.
I said something wrong. Maybe they took it the wrong way and blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah. Whereas I'm just sort of like I mean, mentioned yeah. earlier, being like, that's retarded or whatever.
Yeah.
And someone's like, did you even think before you talked? And I'm like,
yeah.
no. No, I didn't. I did not. I did not even think about that conversation. I didn't think about the ramifications of it. I didn't think that maybe I offended anyone.
Yeah.
Just no... There's nothing in between my brain and my mouth at all. And when I'm done, I'm done. Like, I just thought it was really funny that my brother and I ended up with, like, both, like, problems, but, like, completely opposite problems, you know? So,
I'm, like... I'm like a fainter.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
that's,
shit.
That's one of the things. Like, my nose is asymmetrical. It's a little bit this way.
Okay.
Okay.
And
he pointed to the left.
It's for those of you at home.
Yeah, exactly. For the listeners at home.
Yeah.
And
I was on an Air Canada flight, and I was sitting. You know, it was like the stereotypical bad flight story. Like, guy reclines a seat. People got their laptops down. You're like wedged in, and you're like, oh, just adjust the air vent thing. It's like, why don't I have an air vent thing? Oh, because I'm on Air Canada.
Right.
And then
and there's more seats than there are air vents. So the row in front of you has them, and the row behind you has them, but you don't have them.
What's happening? And then like you see like the beacon of hope of the stewardess coming down the aisle with like the beverage cart. It's
like, oh, you're like, I want a tiny Sprite.
I'm gonna have some water. This is going to be totally fine. And she finally gets here, and I, like, I need water, and then I have a sip of water. I'm like, I don't feel better. And I, like, awkwardly climb over the large man to my left into the aisle. I'm like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to splash water on my face. I'm going to be good. And then, like, it, like, turns into, like, a Stanley Kubrick movie on my way to, like, the bathroom. And I remember reaching for the... for the handle to the bathroom. I just totally blacked out, and I hit my face on the steel cabinets at the back of the plane. And like, they have like the waiver for you to sign before you're even conscious, you know. Like, this isn't our fault. But the funniest thing about it is that
he's laughing about it, so it's okay to laugh about it.
The funniest thing about it was that my girlfriend and I, we showed up late for the flight, so we had to sit on opposite sides of the plane.
Oh.
And if she was next to me, she probably would have been able to calm me down. Yeah. But what was so funny was that, like, when they were announcing that there's a medical emergency on the plane, Jane thought to herself, boy, I hope that hearing that right now doesn't freak Sam out. He's a bit of a worrier. I'm like bleeding on myself at the back of the plane.
So did you break your nose?
Yeah, I
no
broke
shit.
It. And I had to reset it.
Oh my god! So who? Someone did that on the plane?
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
It was funny. It's like, we need a doctor at the back, and there were like five guys like doing rock paper scissors to see who's gonna do this.
Well, if I understand everything correctly from my uncle. My uncle travels a lot, works at the CBC. That they have, there's...
Get an uncle who works at the CBC?
Yeah, he produces the morning show.
Which morning show?
The, like...
the televised morning show?
Yeah, like maybe Canada AM, or is that CTV? Yeah.
No, that's CTV.
Way to go.
Hey, Uncle Brian. You know, just like... Yeah. This is why I'm focusing so hard on hosting. Eventually I'm going to just move out to Halifax and host the CBC morning show.
Yeah.
Then I will say retarded and fuck and like,
be
like, oh, I'm fired.
Yeah.
It'll be the awkward conversation of my uncle firing me.
Keith,
a bunch of old people at home listening, spit-taking all morning.
Yeah. But yeah, supposedly one of the stewardesses is supposed to have like X grade of first aid. So one of the, I say stewardesses, flight attendants, because it doesn't need to be a stewardess.
Oh God.
I'm supposed to have, like, a high level of first aid, so probably could have reset it. Like people, they can do, like, full, like, splints and, like, set bones and all that stuff. Like, almost, like, field tech first aids. But they still always ask if there's a doctor, because obviously the doctor is going to be better than the guy with his little paper. Yeah. So... that's about planes.
So I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about one thing. I do remember that I actually did read the blurb in the Mirror yesterday about the about your show.
The Last Mirror.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about this, because I got a couple questions, and I'm sure you'll address it in the show tonight.
Yes.
But if you will, the blackface anecdote.
The blackface anecdote.
And what's – okay, first of all
– I'm not going to be the most offensive.
What's Lionel? Why does that sound vaguely familiar, and what was Lionel?
Lionel – is a play that was written 15 years ago by a Quebec City novelist.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's the worst play ever written. And for some reason...
Is it like the Birdemic of,
yes,
of theater?
That's what it is.
Yes. It was... And the reason why our acting program produced it is because, like, the master's director, he was looking for something that was, like, really challenging for him. He's like, if I can make this good.
What program were you in? Then
I was at UVic.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And is part of Lionel involved blackface? That's
well, that's the opening 14 minutes of my show. it's talking about that, like, the thing about Victorian about that program is that if you select a play that has a black character, you're gonna have difficulty filling that role because
right,
it's
the whitest
there's
place in the world,
no
right?
black people
right.
in the city of Victoria
oh, God.
To play them. You need to like fly in a professional actor just to fill in the black roles. But there was a black role, and instead of doing what we should have done, got a guest artist to come in and play the role.
Oh, no.
That's well, like, that's like I'm
oh my God, and this was you. Yeah.
I'm yeah. sure that
I, like you're not seeing Sam here. Yeah. Like you're not seeing him. Sam, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
Sam's 6'2". He's got like a head of like curly dark like blonde hair.
Yeah.
Just like, and this is so far from being black. Yeah. Like, it's like,
it's the, like, it's, wait, no, this ties back to another podcast where.
Well, I guess the hair is at least curly.
Do you, yeah, do yeah. You, dyed it black.
Yeah.
Do you know Sugar Sammy? Sugar Sammy's like a big.
He's a comic editor.
Montreal. Comic, whatever else like that. And he was like, when we were closing up the episode with him, we were like, do you have any advice for like the kids at home, Sammy? Like, kind of as a joke. And he was like, never do blackface.
Yeah.
It's never funny. You might think it's funny. It might be funny in a small group of people. It's not going to be funny. If it's going to be serious, it's not going to work. Like, and he was just like he was saying it like as a joke, but like he's like, never do blackface.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And how long did this go on? Like, how long was this?
How long was the run? Yeah.
The run was 3 weeks.
Wow. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's.
Please tell me you use burnt cork to do it. Like, not even like real makeup. Like, please tell me it was like really shitty or like it was like tar or like it was like it was like it wasn't like a Marx like the old Marx Brothers movies before like they realized it was terrible to do.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
was
yeah.
it like that? Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Pretty
is there
horrible.
Other?
Did they try to? What I'm asking, I guess, is did they try? God, this is gonna sound. There's no way of asking this properly. But did they do like did blackface in the sense of? Really trying to get you to look like a legitimate black person, or was it just like black makeup with like white mouth and eyes and like
yeah,
you sang mammy?
It was pretty
like,
much that.
Oh
no, it was not bad.
Not,
it was
not
more.
That.
It was more like Robert Downey Jr. in.
Okay, so all right. Yeah, okay. So like when Saturday Night Live does black, because Saturday Night Live, I'm sorry, still does blackface again,
yeah.
and no one ever calls it out. They do blackface, like when they
Jason Morgan is black, Walter.
Fuck off. No, but they'll have like when they get like. They get away with it because they have Fred Armisen doing like Obama
yeah.
and
yeah,
stuff,
yeah, yeah.
but it's like they still make him darker.
Yeah,
yeah that's
okay.
True.
And it's like, and it's still not okay if it's like okay, and like it's half okay because he's of like Latin heritage.
Yeah,
and he's so it's like sort of like one minority that's passing for another. Like,
yeah.
it's still weird. I find.
How did you reconcile that? Because like, I mean, were you like. Okay, I'll do it. I don't want to like get too much into it, especially if you deal with it in the
yeah yeah
in the production. But it was just sort of like like if you can just like really briefly. I don't want to have.
It was kind of like,
I just
like originally like when you read the play, you have
yeah.
to look. You have to pick a role that you want to audition for.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like I want to be Jake the bodyguard, in his like nice suits and
yeah.
fedora, and he gets to yell. He beats people up.
Right.
I'm like that's me. That's what I want.
That
wanna
sounds
do.
Good. Yeah.
I want to be a bad guy. I'm right. never a bad guy.
Right.
So I auditioned for it and I got the role. And then like after the table read, the director, like he calls me in the middle of the night. He's like, that table read didn't work out. I'm worried about the actor playing Sunshine, the Black Fiddler. I'm worried about how this is gonna go. And like. And what do you do when you try to get someone to do something? He's like, you are the only actor with the integrity, with the talent.
In the back
I
of your
need.
Head, you're like, this is the fourth phone call he made tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. it's like, yeah. Seriously, yeah.
Who'd you call first? Let me guess.
Like,
Peter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who were you not able to scan?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and because you're a good guy, you said yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I said
well,
no.
I don't know if that's what makes
him a
good guy.
I don't want to. No. He's like, you know what? You know what?
And you fainted. I'm sorry.
He's like, you know what? Sleep on it. I'm like, nothing's going to change. But something did change because the next morning I watched Inside the Actor's Studio with James Lipton.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And the guest was Forrest Whitaker.
Okay.
And Forrest Whitaker was talking about how in his university training he was once confronted with a role that he didn't want. It was a huge challenge and far outside himself. And he didn't want to do it. But then he's like, this is where I'm training. This is where I'm free to I can screw this up and it'll be fine because I'm in a safety zone. University is a safety zone to do blackface. No. It's not. It turned out.
No.
Was it an issue? Was it an issue like in the media, in the press? Was it like...
Very funny.
Did people turn on it? Or?
I got great reviews from my performance except for the student newspaper. They're just like, hey, there's a guy in blackface in this play. And I've like, read these other reviews.
I don't know if anybody's noticed or...
Yeah. Are we okay? Are we okay with this? Because it's all a very white town, but it's like a very left... It's like one of the most leftist towns in Canada, you know? So you'd think that there'd be a bunch of righteous, like, women's studies students or something that, like, shut it down. But it just didn't happen.
Thank God he didn't play a woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, God. The city would have
burned
down.
14 minutes of Tinfoil Dice. No,
yeah, yeah.
So
or a black woman.
So,
yeah, wow.
We're coming up on 35 minutes. I know you need to be out of here. You said around 3:30.
Yeah, I'm going to see Blue.
Oh, fuck, the phone's back.
I'm going to see Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. I should get out of here.
With the shaman.
In a little bit.
So, yeah. So, so Tinfoil Dinosaur is a biographical one-man show. I guess laugh at the... Like, I guess your journey to this point.
Yeah.
I suppose. Like, yeah. But like I said, I heard, like, I mean, from that story, a lot of pitfalls and stuff. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So
it's a story about epic failure, and the Tinfoil Dinosaur portion of the story is like how this very small and strange event just changed the course of my life, and it changed everything. And like, the first attempt to go into the city was a complete and utter failure. And then I had to move home and work in a sawmill and live with my mother for 9 months and to save up some money. And then when I went back to the city, it was, like, completely different. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew what I had done wrong the first time.
Say a sawmill?
Yeah, I worked in a sawmill.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a sawmill?
A sawmill?
I've heard the expression. What exactly is it?
That's so funny to me. I guess.
What happens in a sawmill? They cut lumber and stuff.
Yeah. They just turn trees.
Exactly what it sounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They saw and they mill.
Right.
Together.
Yeah. That sounds incredibly dangerous.
Oh man, those places are like safer than where we are right now.
Really?
just like
so,
all the,
there's so many regulations
the,
and stuff.
Yeah, workers' compensation checks and like they come and check all the time.
Were there a lot of like guys with like 9 fingers and stuff?
Yes. Yeah, no shit. Guys missing, just the one guy doing the table saw.
Yeah.
Guy has no fingers.
Buddy
he's a Ninja Turtle.
But is he really missing multiple fingers?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he still worked there.
Oh yeah.
Well, why not?
He's still feeding the same saw that
Jesus
took
his fingers.
A friend of mine works construction, and he says that like at least if the guy's working only the sawmill, obviously that's going to be a little worse. And he's like, just about everybody is missing a fingertip or like whatever else like that, because he's like, for the most part, I mean, if you're working the saw every day, I guess it's a little different.
Yeah.
For the most part, he's like, you'll do it once. You know, it's like you'll be like fresh faced kid on the construction site, whatever. Like, I'm just going to get this done and be. And then you're like, and then for the rest of your career as a construction worker, you're really, really careful.
Yeah.
Because he's like, it just takes once. And he's like, a lot of people have like the flat, like it goes flat, you know, or like no thumb or whatever. He's missing part of his thumb. He did it the first year.
I take it you never injured yourself?
No.
Nope. Weren't there long enough to?
No.
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 Sorry.
Oh my God, we talked about this.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, so Tinfoil Dinosaur, funny.
Yeah. It's the cabbie. He says he wants his phone back.
Oh, okay.
Sam Mullins coming here from Vancouver. So we have three more shows.
Three more shows.
And then also, because this is the internet, this is not limited exclusively to Montreal.
Yeah.
So you mentioned
yeah, you could plug your whole
house. Yeah, I'll plug all sorts.
This is amazing.
You mentioned it at the beginning. It's worked out super well. All I remembered was Edmonton, though.
Edmonton,
because that's the money town.
From here, I'm doing a one night engagement in Ottawa on the 28th of June, and then I'm doing the Toronto Fringe Festival, go home, wait tables for a month, Edmonton Fringe Festival, and I'm writing a new piece for Vancouver.
And back to Sawmill.
No, back to
in blackface.
Waffles. Yes,
working the Sawmill.
No, okay. In like, blackface. If Sawmill. Everything goes well, we're gonna see, I guess, probably an NFB piece on you in like October. Hopefully. I'm guessing. A National Film Board produced one man thing.
I think that's the plan.
And then from
opening
there,
shot
from there,
the piece of wood coming to the saw blade.
Exactly. And then from there, next stop Hollywood, right? That's the goal.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd do great in Hollywood. Like my anxiety'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't be an issue.
Well, the
like cutthroat 10
the Valium flows. Whatever. The Valium flows like water, though, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's in the water.
Yeah, it is. It literally is.
Hollywood water spiked with Valium. So this was a Go Plug Yourself Fringe episode, which is going to be up in an hour.
Yeah, Keith.
I'm going to go up to the bar. I'm going to probably have another drink. I'm going to pull out the mouse and my headphones and edit it and post it.
I'm going to go spend $30 to get a Knife Fight t-shirt made.
Nice.
Awesome. As always, Walter. Pitching Knife Fight.
Thank you. Yeah.
There's still some
shows.
Two shows left.
Go see him while they're hot. Saturday, Sunday, 2:30, 8 p.m. Otherwise, fuck yourself, I guess, right?
Well, I mean, I guess
and so. Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'll post the details for your show, at least the Montreal side. If you want to send me stuff for your other stuff, I'll update the post. If you send me it tomorrow, your dates.
Cool.
I'll update the post. You'll have links to your other shows, just in case.
Yeah, for sure.
I know we have listeners in Toronto.
Cool.
It's
Keith
help.
When he's in Toronto.
Yeah.
When I go to Toronto.
Yeah.
One quarter of the website is a Torontonian, like one of our main people. So
not for long.
Not for long, but she's already built the audience, so it's okay. All right, this is Go Plug Yourself. Thanks for coming, Sam.
Back to five. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.